tracking the Oklahoma teacher walkout. Day 10.
This morning, the walkout is ending, but not everyone's happy, and a lot of folks still have questions. Fox 23 and KRMG's Preston Jones reports from the Capitol.
The OEA says they surveyed all of their members, and 70% of them said they doubted that continued efforts here at the state capitol would bring about any sort of legislative change. Still, we know many teachers are upset with the OEA. We are still expecting some teachers out here today, if anything, just to make a statement that they don't think this walkout should have ended. The state house and Senate adjourned Thursday until Monday without taking any more action on education funding.
The Tulsa, Union, Jinx, Broken Arrow, and other schools will resume classes next week.
This is a special edition of the KRMG Morning News, 8 a.m. in-depth hour on News 102.3 KRMG.
It's been a tumultuous 2 weeks in Oklahoma, and the main question we want to explore for the next hour is, was it all worth it?
We're not in it for the income, we're in it for the outcome.
Until the funding problems are fixed, or at least we have a very strong commitment, my members are telling me we're out until there's funding.
You pass a bill that's not efficient, and then you go back and you gut it, it's like they're playing a game with us.
Juniors and seniors are trying to get ready for the AP test they've studied for all year long, and now's the time to cram. And with no class, there's some real detriments to the kids, to families, to the teachers. So everybody gets every side of the story. But it makes it very, very difficult on everybody.
There's no line in the sand or something along those lines. And I don't know that we'll be able to wait until we have a full resolution in the legislature. What we're doing is just taking it day by day, honestly.
We want every school district to start sending lobby teams to the Capitol next week. There are still education-related bills to be heard.
To speak with the teachers and say, okay, what is it that you feel like is still lacking? Go to the legislator and say, what are you working on now to fill this gap?
I mean, we're willing to do what it takes for our kids because we love our kids.
This is not a protest. This is not a rally. This is a movement.
And the movement, according to Alicia Priest of the Oklahoma Education Association, will continue even though the walkout will end. We're talking about more lobbying at the state capitol starting on Monday, but teachers will be back in the classroom. In Tulsa, the teachers report on Monday. They'll do an in-service day. And then students will be back on Tuesday. But in Union, in Broken Arrow, in Owosso, and many other districts, the students go back on Monday. Some went back yesterday, like Sepulpa, Sand Springs, Bartlesville, and McAllister all went back yesterday. For the next hour, we invite your questions. Use the open mic button on the KRMG app. What's still with you after this walkout? Do you think it was a complete waste of time and money? If you're a teacher, how do you feel about it? Do you think that it was a worthwhile effort? We're going to pass those questions along to our panel this morning. We have joining us in Oklahoma City, Fox 23 and KRMG's Tiffany Alaniz. Preston Jones will join us in a moment. And here in the studio is Fox 23 and KRMG's Jana Clark. Welcome to all of you. Tiffany, we'll start with you. Alicia Priest last night saying that this isn't over, but the walkout certainly is, and maybe the OEA is to blame for not much being accomplished.
Dan, I mean, she walked out of our questions. You know, we were trying to get questions answered for two full days. Yesterday, I finally had to, you know, Senator Treat, we asked him some really hard questions yesterday because teachers telling us they felt stonewalled by him and that it was a brick wall with his just complete refusal to even consider additional sources of funding for education. But then he said, I've been meeting with OEA for the past 2 days and I can't get a clear answer from them. And I've heard five different numbers of what it will take in just this morning. And that was yesterday morning, Dan. So, you know, counterproductive from his point of view of like, if I can't even get a clear message from the group that's supposed to be representing the teachers or the biggest number of teachers, at least, what are we doing here? So, and teachers, obviously, Dan, extremely frustrated.
Yeah, very frustrated. You reported some of them were in tears yesterday, disagreeing with the decision to end the walkout. But Alicia Priest says they've been surveying the teachers every day. She says 70% wanted the walkout to end.
Well, Dan, 70%, but there's a really important caveat there. She said 70% of the respondents, they would not tell us how many they surveyed. And I spoke with numerous members of OEA last night who said that they were not surveyed. So we do not know how many people they surveyed. I mean, the 70%, the way she worded it was very tricky because she said 70% of the respondents. That doesn't mean they surveyed 70% of their members. I mean, that 70% of all of their members voted in favor of ending the walkout. And frankly, the Capitol was packed yesterday. The rotunda was filled during every session, galleries full in both House and Senate sessions. Not a single teacher I talked to yesterday said that they thought that it was the end of the walkout or that they thought it was time to stop. So it was a very interesting move by OEA to decide to end the walkout. You know, we had heard stories that she had met with Representative Echols the day before and said that the walkout would end if there was $25 million more. Well, I went to Representative Echols yesterday morning to confirm or deny whether that in fact happened. And he said, I did meet with her. He said, I don't even remember what the number was. He knew it was not the $50 million number. And that's really what teachers wanted to stick with, was that $50 million, because the hotel motel tax, of course, Dan, was lost. So that's about $47 million. So they wanted to stick to that $50 million number. So 2 days ago is when we started really seeing this dissension between teachers and OEA and them saying, we didn't say $20 million would be enough. We said $50 million would be enough. So the whole thing happened, that what I witnessed happened in 36 hours, Dan, is unlike anything I've ever seen really happen, especially in a huge movement like this. And even, Dan, leading Democrats who had been standing side by side with OEA telling teachers 2 days ago, listen, if you're not in agreement with OEA, you just have to continue to hold the line for yourself. So, you know, Dan, as then Senator Treat said to me yesterday, how am I supposed to negotiate with 41,000 people?
Yeah, everybody with a different opinion about what it would take to end the walkout. So we're left with the question, what exactly was accomplished? This teacher hit the open mic button, says something was.
Maybe I'm just misunderstanding you guys, but you say they didn't do anything by the walkout. They generated $500 million, something the legislators couldn't do in the last 10 years.
It was historic, Tiffany, but it was before the walkout started.
That's exactly right, Dan. The $500 million was before the walkout started. The ball and dice and the Amazon tax did happen during the walkout, but so did the repeal of Hotel Motel. Now, having said that, there will be people that will say that the walkout, the threat of the walkout, is what forced the $500 million package to pass. So there will be people that say the threat of the walkout is what even made lawmakers pass that. However, there is no denying that the walkout, regardless of monetarily the figure that we are able to put on it, absolutely, they made a change in terms of forcing lawmakers to be held accountable, forcing them, pulling back the curtain to see who is voting what. It's generated some very real emotional and really, quite frankly, some difficult conversations about who people voted for. A lot of people, a lot of teachers, Dan, told me right to my face, and some said, you know, I take the blame for part of this because I've always been a straight party voter, a straight party ticket voter, and I realize now that some of the people I voted for are not for education the way that they told us they were.
And many of those teachers now deciding that they're going to run for state office, and we'll talk more about that in a moment. I want to roll Preston Jones into this conversation. He's in Oklahoma City with you, looking at the situation this morning. We certainly don't expect the kind of crowds that we've seen the last several days or the last 2 weeks today, do we, Preston?
We don't, but it is 8:15 just about, and we are nearing at least about 70 teachers out here out front of the state capitol. They are putting up their tents. It's like another normal day of the walkout for them. We know the AFT, the American Federation of Teachers, they are voting today as to whether or not they will continue walking out. They are totally separate from the OEA.
All right. That's Fox 23 and KRG's Preston Jones. Tiffany Allen, he's both in Oklahoma City. I'll ask both of you to hang on for just a moment. You're listening to a KRMG 8 a.m. in-depth hour. I'm Dan Potter with Rick Corey, Jana Clark from Fox 23 and KRMG here as well. Inviting your questions via open mic. KRMG 8 a.m. in-depth hour in the KRMG Morning News with Dan Potter. Rick Corey is here. We're joined in the studio by Fox 23 and KRMG's Jana Clark. And from Oklahoma City on the phone, Fox 23 and KRMG's Tiffany Allen and Fox 23 and KRMG's Preston Jones. To that first comment about, or the second comment, I guess, about marches and protests never working, you don't have to go very far back in history to find where and you can argue about the degree of effectiveness, but you can find protests that did ultimately lead to big social change, whether it's on a state level or a national level. But in this case, I think it's pretty easy to argue that not much was actually accomplished in 2 weeks of walkouts. Jana Clark, one of the questions that we get more than any other when we talk about schools is, what happened to the lottery money? I thought the lottery was supposed to take care of this. We've investigated it. We've gone through the numbers. You did a really in-depth investigation this week about the lottery money. What did you find, and how do you answer folks who ask that question?
Well, it's not a simple answer, and I get that question all the time, too. I'll start with this. The lottery money has gone to education. I will say that. But there are problems with that statement. The first problem is you're talking about a sliver of the amount of money that education needs. We made a chart with all of the education funding given by the state, and we showed how much in yellow came from the lottery. And mm-hmm. It was just a tiny sliver. It almost just looked like a line, like not even, you know, part of it, because it's just a tiny amount. On top of that, the money that does come in, and I'll give you a ballpark amount, it's 60 to 70 million per year. Only 45% of that actually goes to K through 12 education. Most of it goes to higher ed and other
universities,
other funds, right? So that's something that people don't know. That tiny amount is part of the problem. The percentage then is part of the problem. You're talking 60 to 70 million dollars, right?
Mm-hmm.
So those are a couple of points that, you know, people don't know. Here's what else we did. We when the lottery money came in, we charted, you know, as that money came in, what happened to state appropriations, the money that lawmakers give to education every year.
Uh-huh.
And it just so happens that as that money came in from the lottery
and went up,
and that money came in, the the appropriations from the state went down. Now, it depends on who you talk to when you talk to lawmakers and say, what is the deal with that? Some will say, you know, they think that that's why it went down. Some will tell you it's just a coincidence because it just so happens that's when they needed to start making cuts. That's kind of the problem. So in the grand scheme of things, since the lottery's been in place, the amount of money that has come in and gone to education has not kept up with cuts.
Perception is part of the problem, though, and this is, I think, the difficulty we run into here is when this was proposed and passed, the governor and people who were supporting it oversold what it was going to do for this state. Do you think that's the case?
Perception is definitely a problem. I don't know about you guys. I remember seeing those commercials that made it at least seem like it was going to save education, and that's what everybody says to me. I thought the lottery was supposed to save education. Well, several things happened here. There's the perception problem, or maybe they oversold it, but there's also the problem that, for example, when I was doing stories about the proposed lottery, they told me, we're going to model this after the Georgia lottery. So I actually went to Georgia, went to schools, talked to them about what is your lottery like and what has it done for your schools. And teachers could point in the corner of the room and say, look at all those, that row of computers. Those came from the lottery. I interviewed a girl who was going to a state university in Georgia because of the lottery. They pay for scholarships for kids. They've earmarked it and pinpointed it for technology, for scholarships, for various things. And so they have tangible, you know, evidence of what that money has gone for. Where the lottery money goes here is it goes straight into the general fund. So if you ask a teacher or a principal or a superintendent, what do you guys do with the lottery money? They say, shrug their shoulders. I don't know. Yeah. We don't know where it goes.
No way to tell.
And I think some of that may also have to do with what she's talking about. When there's a certain amount of lottery money gets there, you see money starting to back out. Remember when we told you about the funding formula, part of that is the more you get from any kind of local source or other sources, the more they back away in other areas.
Right.
So who knows whether or not they just...
The state says you're getting enough money.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah, who knows whether or not they went, well, you're getting that there, so I'm going to take that lottery money back. That may have been what they did there initially. It's part of the whole problem with this.
Fox 23 and KRMG's Tiffany Alanis and Preston Jones in Oklahoma City. Tiffany, let's start with you. What have lawmakers and teachers said to you about lottery money while you've been there this last 2 weeks?
You know, Dan, they've spoken little that, just because they're so focused on funding right now, Dan, that they have spoken very little. Now, people, viewers and listeners want to know about the lottery money, but yeah, that has not been the resounding topic here in the Capitol, because it's like Dana said. I mean, they don't know exactly where all those dollars are going. They know it goes to the general fund, so it does help fund education. There's no question about that, but they don't know specifically. But that's, I've heard very little about it, frankly, in the Capitol, just because they're so focused on other stuff here, Dan. And really, the teachers here, you know, OEA can say the walkout is over. I think we're going to see, you know, as Preston alluded, OKCAFT voting today with their members. And I think we're going to see what will happen here today. And we do know that several of our big districts have buses coming back here today. You know, they have made the decision to go back to school Monday, and I will commend our bigger districts, because we saw an absolute disaster happen with more schools here where their administration made the decision to go back to school without surveying their teachers or even having a discussion with any of their teachers groups. And they had more than 300 teachers call out. Wow. And said they're not going back to school, and they were here at the Capitol yesterday. And that was just a mess. I mean, they needed 300 subs yesterday, Dan, like 377 sub requests. Oh. I mean, that's just a mess.
Preston,
I talked with Owosso teachers, and they said that they had a great discussion with their leadership. Some of them were still really sad, feeling like there was still so much work to be done, but they said they really felt backed by their district. They had the assurance that they would still be sending a delegation up here, you know, as the walkout continued. I don't know what we'll see now that there's been a declaration that the walkout is over, but we do know that several of our big districts are sending buses today.
Well, let's follow up on that with Preston. You say you're seeing about 70 or so teachers already there. Have you heard from any of them that they're going to defy their district and not be there when classes reopen?
So in the past 10 minutes, that number's easily doubled. It's probably about 150 teachers out here now, more and more pulling up by the minute. There are many state troopers out here again, so we know they're expecting something to happen too, or the state troopers would have gone home, but they are here. The teachers we talked with, many of them are angry at the OEA. They are hoping that they can form together and keep this walkout going. Some of them saying yes, they will continue into next week. If they're not skipping school, they're at least planning to be one of the representatives that comes here to the Capitol to talk with state lawmakers to keep pushing for education.
Thank you, Preston. Fox 23 and KRMG's Preston Jones and Tiffany Alanis in Oklahoma City. Here in the studio with us, Fox 23 and KRMG's Janet Clark. Rick Corey, I'm Dan Potter. It's an 8 a.m. in-depth hour on the KRMG Morning News.
You're listening to the KRMG Morning News. 8 a.m. in-depth hour on News 102.3 KRMG.
We know you still have questions and thoughts about the teacher walkout. What, if anything, was accomplished? What lies ahead for public education in Oklahoma? Some of the voices we heard over the past 2 weeks.
I'm not here just for my personal kids. I'm here fighting for the 90 other kids that are waiting for me to return back to my classroom with funding.
I love the idea of more money in my pocket, but I think more important for education in Oklahoma is get more teachers in the classroom,
so that future generations of students in Oklahoma, including some of my kids' younger siblings, they'll be able to have a better education because of this walkout.
I'm very happy to hear that they finally got what they're looking for, but it still doesn't sound like we got what we need for our kids to grow and to learn and to get out of the slump that we've put our kids in because of taxes.
The teachers should have gone back as soon as they found out that the legislature was out until Monday.
We are in a marathon, not a sprint, and we will continue our advocacy at the legislature through the remainder of this session.
OEA President Alicia Priest there ending that montage. Alicia Priest, head of an organization that doesn't represent all of the teachers in Oklahoma. I think only about 50% actually belong to the OEA. I have a lot of thoughts coming in via open mic on the KRMG app this morning.
I'll tell you where all the lottery money goes. It goes right into the politician's pocket. The state is just as corrupt as the federal government.
What is it? For the people, by the people? Well, I'm pretty sure the people spoke and your leaders ignored you. As a matter of fact, they kind of shamed you. I think it's time to get rid of all these corrupt politicians.
I'm sorry, why do I need to give a raise to Broken Arrow High School teachers who like to sleep in classroom and the kids teach themselves? This is ridiculous. Now us parents and kids have to suffer for this.
I'm wondering why nobody in the press, KRMG included, has challenged the OEA or the teachers on their numbers or their wild claims, which 5 minutes of research pretty much prove are way wrong.
You know what? I would bet Tiffany Alanese has a different thought about whether or not we challenge the OEA, Tiff.
Yeah, Dan. I came under fire yesterday with people saying I was being way too hard on OEA. We tried for 12 hours the day before to get numbers. OEA gave members of the media four different figures, Dan, within the span of like an hour. And we kept going back to them saying, oh, wait, you just told him 22 million. You told me 17 million. You told somebody else 24 million. Which is it? And then they did a complete refusal for media. Senator Treat has been under fire, obviously, for his refusal to consider any new sources of funding. And then he said to me, listen, OEA can't give me a consistent message. I've heard five figures today. And that was yesterday, Dan. So then they were waiting. Alicia Priest, the president, was waiting in his lobby. And I walked up to her with my phone to try to get numbers. So the minute I walked out of his office, we walked right up to her with my phone rolling. It's on my Facebook page and my Twitter account. And said, what's the number? What are we talking about here? Because, frankly, I knew it was my job to try to find that out. Teachers were also asking me across the board, what are they saying? And, Dan, one really important thing to say is OEA did not – the teachers found out that the walkout was over on the live streams of the news conference yesterday at 4:30. That's how they learned that the walkout was over. They later, about an hour after the news conference was over, did they send the long letter to all of their members trying to break everything down. And last night before I went to bed, Dan, I was texting OEA to say the numbers that you're even telling your teachers don't add up. They are saying we had a $70 million gain since we've been here in the walkout. That doesn't – there's no way that they had a $70 million gain, and there's no way to get to that number. So – I'm waiting for a reply to them from them this morning on that.
Maybe they just needed more math teachers.
You know, honestly, and lawmakers were saying that to me. How can they not have their math right? It's just like, I don't know, Danny. But I'll tell you, Dan, the heart of the teachers, what I saw in the last 9 days and today, day 10, the heart in that building and the heart, you know, anybody that wants to say, oh, these are just about teachers who want to raise. Dan, I didn't talk to a single teacher. Every teacher I talked to said, I would gladly trade my raise if it meant we could have better funding in the classroom. I'll give it back if it means.
Okay.
And Dan,
let me interrupt for a second, Tiffany, because there are a couple of other big questions that we've been getting a lot in the last 2 weeks, and I want to make sure we get to them before this hour is over. Well, one of them has to do with whether the teachers were paid during the walkout. Who wants to take that? Preston?
I can take that. The teachers, as in, like, were they paid by the schools or were they being paid to be here in protest?
Well, no. Were they being paid for their jobs by the school districts?
Well, they're going to be making up that time. So from what we understand, they will still be paid. They are 12-month employees from what we understand. So from what I know, yes, they are being paid, but they're going to be making that time up once they get back to school.
Okay, and then speaking of who paid or who's paying for the buses? We've gotten that every day, I think, since this started. We've tried to answer it multiple times, but what's the latest information on that, Preston?
Well, I hate that question. I hear it every time I go live on Facebook, that and the lottery. But from what we know, the teachers have paid $5 a day to get on the buses. That's what some of them have told us. There's been lots of community organizations who have donated money to pay for the buses and the drivers. There's been church buses pulling up. In fact, I just saw a church bus a few minutes ago pull up here. So if you see a school bus out here, somebody's paying for it. You're not paying for it as a taxpayer. Either the teacher or community group is paying for it.
Okay. Fox 23 and KRMG's Preston Jones and Tiffany Alanese in Oklahoma City. Jana Clark with us here in the studio. KRMG Morning News, 8 a.m. In-Depth Hour. Dan Potter, Rick Corey. Earlier this morning, Rick spoke with Union Superintendent Dr. Kurt Hartzler.
And one of the things we wanted to ask is, did he believe the message was clear? Did they have maybe some drawbacks to how that was presented? And did they eventually get what they wanted?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think that was what was confusing. you know, in my mind, again, we were fighting more than just a one-front battle. It was really a two-front battle, and I think there were probably community members that didn't quite understand that. Once, you know, the governor signed the teachers and the support and the state raises, I think people said, well, this is over. Well, there's a whole lot more that went into this than just the raises in itself. Again, our teachers weren't just simply fighting for themselves by way of raises. They were fighting for their students in terms of operational dollars.
Did you accomplish what you wanted to accomplish? Did that happen?
You know, I believe it did, Rick. And I know teachers across our state probably last night and maybe even this morning still feel a little disappointed. And perhaps they didn't accomplish what they set out to do. But as I said to my staff, last night and will again this morning, that I don't think the significance will really set in for them for a little bit of time. But when they reflect back and think back what happened, I mean, they've secured right at about $500 million for public education. And that is historic. And I hope they take pride in the fact that they've been able to accomplish in about 9 days what a lot of superintendents and school boards have been trying to accomplish over the last 10 years and haven't been successful.
Union Superintendent Dr. Kurt Hartzler, but that's not entirely true. I mean, they accomplished that $500 million before the walkout. Okay, you can argue the threat of the walkout caused the legislators to capitulate and pass that package of increased funding, and then immediately 20 minutes later turn around and repeal the hotel motel tax out of it. But
I think what he's getting to, and he actually says that later on in an interview, you'll hear more of it later today, is the overall conversation, bringing the attention and then letting people understand that there really was a crisis. You keep hearing people say, well, just save more money. You can't save the $200 million that was cut.
Yeah,
I mean, that much was taken away, and he wanted that overall conversation, which he thinks is now on the front burner, and he believes that's been good for education. Plus, they did get some of what they were after,
yeah,
and that all for them is progress.
I can see that. My problem is I think they had a lot of goodwill and a lot of public support in the first week.
Yep.
And I think they squandered it by taking the walkout into week two.
Which is exactly why he said he thinks the message was wrong up front.
Yeah. Jana Clark is here, Fox 23 and KRMG News. And we've been talking with you about lotteries and casinos, but you also know a little bit about consolidation because you have a source who is a superintendent in a small town. A lot of folks that we've heard from the last 2 weeks say, why don't we consolidate a lot of these smaller districts, cut down on the duplication, eliminate some administration, realize some cost savings, and wouldn't that go a long way toward fully funding the schools? But the problem with consolidation is if you're a small town with your own school district, you don't want to give that up.
Right. This superintendent I'm talking about, she told me that, you know, she used to think it was a great idea to consolidate schools. And this was when she was a Tulsa Public School principal. Fiscally, it makes sense. Administrative costs, you know, all the people that work in those positions, it's a lot of money that could be saved. But she said once she went to a small town and became a superintendent, it changed her mind. And here are the two reasons why. Number one, she says, this is our town's identity, is its school. Without the school, our town has no identity and it will die. Mm. Her second point is, a lot of these towns, there's a lot of distance between them. And you would spend a lot of money on busing kids to different towns to go to school, or a lot of time in the car driving back and forth between schools, because, you know, there are a lot of miles between some of these schools and between some of these towns.
Consolidation probably cost Steve Largent the governorship.
I believe it did. I mean, Steve actually told me that on the phone. You know, it really became a big thing that we started to talk about. John Erling and I were talking about it on the air one day, and he called me kind of in a panic, and he thought he was being taken out of context, and he didn't like what happened, and he called me afterwards and said he believed that that did have a whole lot to do with him losing. At that time, nobody knew who Brad Henry was, really. Right. And here comes Steve Largent, who is, I mean, Steve Largent,
Right.
And I think he really believes that had a lot to do with that.
All right. We've run out of time on the air, but the time is unlimited at Facebook.com/KRMG Tulsa and on the open mics. Go ahead, leave your comments. We'll be using those in news stories throughout the day. And of course, be back Monday for the KRMG Morning News. We'll get you all caught up on what's happening on Monday.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.